What's the best ages to get married to avoid divorce? This is Single Married Divorced. I'm Eric Rung, and I am single.
Tom McGuire, I'm happily married.
I'm Allison Collins, and I'm happily divorced.
So how old were you when you got divorced?
Or married.
Married, I'm sorry.
It was like a few weeks before I turned 25.
All right, so you were out of the range, actually. So,
I was young, yeah.
Yeah, and how long were you married? I forget.
7 years.
7 years. Well, you passed the five-year mark, which, according to this study. So this new study suggests that people should get married between ages 28 and 32 if they don't want to get divorced, at least in the first 5 years. You waited. I mean, that's the general thinking, and they even acknowledge this in the survey that they did, that before it always seemed to think that the general thinking was wait until you get married, get older, be, you know, more mature, things like that. But this is saying 28 and 32.
Well, I grew up thinking you got married when you're like in your early 20s.
Yeah.
And then I soon realized
you go to college and then you get married.
Go to college, meet a girl, and get married. And that's what some of my cousins did, and one of my sisters did. My other sister met a guy in college, but it took like 12 years to get married. So they were like right in that sweet spot probably right when they got married. I was 34. I think it's, personally, I think it's the way to go. I mean, obviously, it's what I did.
Well, 34, and that's close to 32, though, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm not saying it was, it wasn't in my 20s. I think me in my 20s. I mean, maybe it would have been fine. I don't know if I met the right person at the right time. But yeah, for me, it was like, maybe I'll never get married. I met Beth. I was like, all right, I'll get married.
Well, the study was done by Nick Wolfinger, a sociologist at the University of Utah. It was published by a pro-marriage organization called the Institute of Family Studies. And it said, you know, as we mentioned, that people get married between 28 and 32, split up the least in the ensuing years. Allison, does it make sense to you? I mean, you got married young. What do you think?
I mean, I think there's so many factors that go into it. I think, should I have waited to get married? Yes. I mean, I was too young. I think if you can go out and kind of figure out what you want out of life before you attach onto someone else, I think that you can both flourish a little more. But I think to find like the sweet spot between 28 and 32 and be like, okay, now I'm ready. Now
I don't think I think anytime you try and plan it, that's a bad idea. You've talked about that plenty. But again, I know people that said, no, I want to be married when I'm 30 years old and I want to have kids when I'm 34.
All I could think about is this guy's at the University of Utah and I used to live kind of that way. And I keep thinking like, marry your first wife at 28 and your second at 32. For our polygamist friends out there.
Well, this is, there are a lot of reasons why late 20s and 30s make a lot of sense for starting a marriage. People are old enough to understand it, that if they really get along with someone, or if they're just blinded by hormones, or, you know, love at first, or lust at first sight, I should say. And they've already made some significant life choices, such as jobs and where they want to be in life and things like that. And they're a little more financially solvent than they are when they're younger, just out of school. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that I think are going into this that make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think probably on the flip side, once you start getting a little bit older, you probably start to get like used to being single, stuck in your ways, and so it's maybe harder to transition to. So it's probably the little sweet spot, 28 to 32, that's like you're really in the perfect spot to be successful.
You're shaking your head.
I'm not saying everyone else fails. Sure. I'm just saying that's probably the theory. You know,
my friends that waited longer, I have some friends that have amazing relationships, but they didn't get married till, you know, their late 30s, 40s. And, you know, they're like, yeah, and we both want to have kids. And they're currently going through, like, the struggles of, you know, fertility and, you know, when that peaks and, you know, the trials and tribulations. So, I don't, not that that's right or wrong or whatever, but I think that it adds a whole other layer of stress to the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Wait, going to what Tom said about being kind of stuck in your ways and things, I see that side of it, but I also see the side of it as I know who I am and I know what I want and I know what I'll put up with and I know what I won't put up with.
Yeah, but I feel like I meet a lot of guys now who are maybe your age. They're like, this is who I am, and I am very like almost like rigid Like, this is what makes me happy, and it makes it hard to, how would we be in a relationship? Like, how would, what would give?
Right. A give and take.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I see that too, but what we talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago too, are just kind of deal breakers, not so much of the smaller stuff that we talked about, but I think you know what you're willing to give on. I mean, if you don't, then I don't think you know who you are, but...
If you're a person who like only focuses on what makes you happy, it probably doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah,
you're just gonna fail. Like sometimes you do things that don't make you happy because it makes the other person happy.
Right.
Oh, Tom.
No, but I mean that's true. I mean, especially being in a relationship or just being in love in general, when you do something for somebody else and you see how happy that makes them. I mean, I get more joy out of it probably than they do.
You know, and sometimes it works out in your favor. Sometimes you get the reward, the unforeseen reward. So I hate shopping. And when Beth and I, we used to go shopping. And I literally, I mean, I swear this is a true story. You can ask Beth. I would not say a word. I would politely just walk around and stand there and walk around, stand there, walk around, stand there. And she would drive, it would drive her crazy. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, what? She's like, why are you hovering? I'm like, I'm in the women's clothing department. I'm standing here,
yeah.
And when you move 10 feet away, I move 10 more feet. So, like, she's like, God, you like...
So just I guess leave me alone.
Yeah, I was, like, kind of lurking too much.
Yeah.
So now I don't have to go shopping anymore.
Hmm.
And in my mind, I was like, I'm being so nice. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I'm just... And if there's a place to sit, I'll sit quietly. But if it's not, I just kind of float around a little bit. And now I don't have to go anymore.
Hmm. I don't like shopping either. I generally would just park myself someplace and say, I'll be right here.
I like shopping for myself.
I've seen Tom at the Nordstrom's anniversary sale. It's phenomenal, his shopping abilities.
I'm actually, I think, an amazing shopper because I go into the store, I know exactly what I want, and I go buy that, and then I leave.
I'm the same way. That's why I'm good at it.
Yeah, I think I'm really good at it. I'm a good shopper.
I was telling my mom the other day, I haven't gone shopping in so long. I'm in serious need of like some new black pumps and some basics.
One of the best Christmas presents I ever got my sisters was courtesy of Mrs. Collins working at Fields.
Mm.
And I literally walked in, I'm like, I need presents for my sisters. And she's like, oh, what about this and what about that? I'm like, perfect, perfect.
Checked
out, I was on my way.
My mom loved working at Marshall Fields, and she would love when people would come up and say, what do I need? And she's like a super bargain shoppers,
mm-hmm.
and she'd be like, oh, and if you use this coupon, and then you put it on your card, and then you agree to sign up for this, and you get another 20% and a 30% and a 50% on that. And
next thing you know, it's free.
I know. Yeah. I know.
They actually pay you to take the merchandise.
Well, it was always really funny. At the end of the year, my father would come out and say, this is how much the Fields credit card cost us this year, and this is what your mother... was paid by them, and it was always the card was always slightly over, and she's like, that's not fair because I pay for all your suits, and you know.
But I think there's something to what Tom said though too. I when you're in a relationship you know what you want and what you'll put up with and things like that, but I think when you're in love with somebody, it makes you want to do, or it makes you want to do things for them, makes you a better person, I guess.
Sure.
Agreed.
The end.
Let me tell you why you're wrong, Eric.
I was hoping to stroke a little story or two, but
well, no, I think you're right, fine. Though. When you're alone, your life is very different than when you're with someone. Pasta, chicken breasts, lay on the couch. When you're with someone, you have better meals, you go out more, you do new things you didn't think you would do before. You do things you don't necessarily want to do because they want to do them.
And sometimes, do things with other people even if you didn't want to do them or don't like doing them. But you find them somewhat enjoyable because you're with them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, of course, when you start dating someone and you're doing things that make them happy, it's fun to see them. But then I feel like sometimes I date people where, like, then they're like, oh, you should do that again. Doesn't that make you so happy?
They
to do this for me, yeah. And you're like, I don't know.
Well, I hate getting flowers all the time. Yeah.
You moved to a ranch in the middle of Wyoming. So let's talk about doing things for people you love.
Yeah. I mean, I think I come off as, I think I'm being portrayed as someone that doesn't give in, but I feel like I do.
I don't feel that. I don't think you're
being portrayed that way. I think I just got portrayed that way. But
I
don't think either of you have been portrayed that way. I think you're both very giving, generous people.
Oh, you're just saying that because it's true, Tom.
If only you two crazy kids could find somebody.
It's interesting that they said that that was the prime age to avoid divorce within the first 5 years. And according to the analysis done by the sociologist at University of Utah, it said if the perfect age to get married and not get divorced is 45 to 49.
Oh, that totally shoots my theory right in the head. My theory about getting older and not being able to, so I'm totally wrong. According to his research, I'm totally wrong.
But I think you also run into the problem that Allison talked about, too, is if you did want to have kids, I mean, that's going to be pretty tough.
Well, at 45, you're pushing it at 40, I think, you know, so 45, it's really a...
Well, if you read this article and then there's like a, you know, the other side of the bait coming right after it saying, well, that could be flipped on its ear, too, so... But I like the end of it where it says, having money and college degree reduces your chances of getting divorced. Yeah, it's just get engaged before moving in together.
Hmm, that's interesting.
So
the money thing, it always like I think we've said this before, like money can't buy happiness, but like it sure helps. Yeah. Like if you don't have to worry about money,
yeah,
like how much less stress is there?
I don't know many people that don't have to worry about money, but...
Well, if it's not a constant concern, you're living paycheck to paycheck and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like a single mother teacher or something, that'd be so awful.
I missed this when my initial reading with the getting engaged before moving in together.
Yeah, I
as a factor.
I moved in. You moved in too before. You know what? That's not true.
People can't see you shaking your head, Tom.
Oh no, I moved in. Like Beth and I, it's bizarre. I did not move in. I live directly behind Beth.
Right.
Literally, like
same
from
building,
Beth's,
yeah.
From Beth's back porch, you would look into my living room. It was all just a coincidence. No, we moved. She ended up buying. I moved in with my buddy, and she completely randomly, like before he even bought this place, ended up buying. Like he'd bought it, and then she's like, "Oh, I found this great condo." I'm like, "Where is it?" And I'm like, "That's like right, you know, by my buddies."
And that's before you had moved in.
That's before. Yeah, I didn't move in until we got married.
Yeah.
And I had a friend of mine who...
No, before you moved in with the friend that bought the...
Yeah, no. Okay. So Beth had lived there, and he lived there, and then I moved in. There's some things that went on, and I moved in with him. When I moved in, I mean, I knew Beth lived right there. So it was like,
that's perfect.
Pretty convenient, to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely.
So it was like, we were like a little happy family of the three of us. And then he met his now wife. And it was like a little four-person little dinks. So they weren't married yet, but she had moved in. They were engaged, I think, moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like the four of us, you know, for a while. And then they moved.
Hmm.
And that was the end of it.
Did you move in?
I'm sorry. I will have to change my answer because I guess I moved in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we knew we were moving in together. Right. I knew I was moving to Wyoming, like, the first of the year, and he proposed on Christmas Eve. So, technically, yes, I was engaged before moving in.
Right.
So, I was told by a friend, I thought this was good advice. She had moved in, engaged, moved in together, and then got married. And she was like, the wedding was kind of a...
anticlimactic.
It was fun, but it was kind of, kind of like, okay, let's go back to our apartment that we already had together.
Yeah.
So, she's like, so nothing really, like, changed. And for Beth and I's situation, there was no need to move in because we lived 50 yards from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal either way, but it was nice to like, all right, we're married, you know.
Right.
You know, it's kind of something changes then, at least.
I don't know. I don't think I would live. Well, I don't know. It would probably depend because I lived with a woman several years ago and we weren't even close to getting engaged.
In sin?
Yes, which my mother reminded me of.
I bet she wasn't happy, I bet.
No, she didn't. She was fine.
She didn't care.
Yeah, she was fine.
I would say to people, I'm like, if you're going to move in together, just might as well get married then. Like,
oh, God,
the point is, like, be single. If you're going to be single, be single. If you're not going to be single, then be married, well, in my opinion.
This was a little different situation. I understand what you're saying. And like I was about ready to say, I don't know if I would move in with somebody now prior. I don't think I have a hard and fast rule on that one, though. I think that in this situation, it was a little different because we were both moving from two different cities. And it was kind of, looking back in hindsight, 2020, I would have gotten two different apartments. And I think the relationship would have probably been a lot better, but eventually would have ended anyway. But we did it thinking also with the, it's stupid for us to get two apartments because we're just going to stay the night over each other's place anyway. But in hindsight, it would have been the best decision.
Well, you save some money, I guess. Why are we paying two rents?
We did get a really nice apartment, that's for sure.
And how was that trailer?
I lived in a single wide on a ranch.
Was it everything you dreamt of as a little girl?
It was fine. I mean, it seemed like a house, but I still remember. Like, my mom tells the story. She didn't tell the story until after we got divorced. She's like, ugh. When I had to pull up there and I saw that you were living in a trailer and you were bringing my first grandbaby home to a trailer, it kind of rubbed her the wrong way a little bit. But, you know, we built a house after that. Sure. So.
And was it weird? I mean, this is going to sound like a joke, but I'm serious. Like, was it weird for you, like, going from, like, suburban girl to, like, a ranch where you these calves would be birthed? And then these cows are on their way to the slaughterhouse eventually.
So that's not really how it works. I went from suburban girl to like city girl to LA girl to ranch girl. They would sell, what would happen is that in the spring all the babies are born, and then the fall they would sell them all, and it was considered like a natural ranch, which is like organic but without the stamp, and so they roam free and, you know, eat the natural grass. But they would all go, and that was sad because you'd see, like, the moms and the kids break up from each other. But, like, the moms and the babies, they get torn apart from each other, and that was heartbreaking. The only thing that softened the blow was that then you would get the money for all the calves. You'd get one lump sum of money every year, and so usually you'd put it in some sort of fund and then work off of that for the rest of the year. But it was sad and awful and everything. But also the moms, by that point, they didn't want to nurse the babies. Like, the babies were too big to keep doing that. So the moms were kind of like,
kill them?
They were being killed. Yeah. I mean, yes, they were definitely beef cattle. At some point in time, they were going to be killed. But they were going off to another place to continue.
To fatten up.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. This story started with the suburban girl, city girl, LA girl, ranch girl, right?
Yeah, no, this is my fault. I asked her if it was emotional to see these new cows be born, come into the world, and then them go off to die.
So don't get married at 24. Was that the conclusion?
I think it was. question number one. So question number one is, again, kind of going on this, the holiday theme here, how to handle tough questions about your dating, marriage, kids, divorce status when you're home with your family.
Avoid. I mean, even if I'm happy when I was like, I don't want, like, I don't, like, yeah, it's great. It's nice.
But I think a lot of people get asked that at home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just natural to ask, like, how are things going? But like, I don't want to like go into too much depth. About like when you're dating,
if you're dating somebody,
yeah, like when you're younger, you just want to kind of like you want. I don't know, for me personally, I don't want to tell my parents like all the gory details of like.
No, but I want them
to think the person's a very nice person.
Sure,
and then if I break up with them down the road, like, oh, it just didn't work out.
Right.
So I mean, I kind of try to keep it light, is what I'm saying.
How about you?
I'm an oversharer with my family, so I mean.
Well, like when you first got divorced, I mean, how did you handle that with maybe even people out, you know, maybe a little further removed from your immediate family that maybe didn't know or anything like that?
I think I made like a little like terribly uncomfortable, like I thought it was hilarious, like, well.
Let me tell you about my divorce.
Yeah. I think it goes back to I'm an oversharer. I would tell too much. And then I'd make everyone uncomfortable, and then...
Yeah, but I think Allison is like an overshare at times, but then she can go complete opposite too. Like sometimes on Facebook, I want to be like, wait, what? Like this is the most cryptic, mysterious
what?
Message.
I feel like I am never cryptic.
On Facebook, you'll like make some like random comment. Like, this is what happens when the wind blows. Like, to be like, what? Like, what does this mean? Like, the other day at the bear game with the ticket, like, someone doesn't like electronic tickets. Like, yeah. Like, well, what? Like, what's sorry. This? Like, what's... So everyone's like, wait, what?
I'm
like,
sorry.
You had that other picture of you like, and look like a friend of yours together.
I am not allowed to post any pictures at the Bears games because there may have been some tailgating that occurred beforehand. I should like have one of those lock.
It was drinking like most, and posting.
It was the most mysterious.
That's something we should talk about too.
No, we shouldn't. Yeah, no. So we go to the Bears game. This is, we're way off topic again. Forever, my dad had all the tickets, and so now that my brother's in charge of all the Bears tickets, he made them go all electronic. But they also send you paper tickets, but my brother had downloaded them to his phone, and my dad's like a super fast walker. You've been with
us.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, see you
He's
at the
an
game.
Amazing walker. He like
Flash Gordon.
It was like a routine. He would hand everyone their ticket in case you got split up, and then right. You'd walk really fast, and I could never keep up with them, and then you get in, and you'd all sit down together. But my brother downloaded them to his phone and didn't realize that like negated his ticket that he was holding, and there was an infuriated father like pointing like, you don't do this to someone.
Is that what the pic that he was the most like no one who saw that post could figure out what was happening in it. Yeah,
again, back to
drinking and posting. I was infuriated at a Bears game a couple of years ago. I had gone, this was before they would accept electronic tickets, and I had got a couple of tickets on StubHub. I was going with our friend Andrew, who is a Minnesota Vikings fan. It was a Monday night football game, and Andrew and I had a couple of cocktails before the game, a little tailgating, and we went to go to get into the game, and I had the tickets on my phone, and they said, oh no, you have to go to this special section and print them out. Which I thought was ridiculous.
Yes.
And both Murray and I will say, I think we were very calm to the people. We knew that it wasn't their fault that this was a stupid rule. And then we had to go around to print out the tickets. And, I mean, we missed the first quarter because of it. And that was ridiculous, I thought. So I'm glad they went to the electronic tickets. I'm sorry your father was upset about it. But what were we talking about?
You know what really gets my goat?
Oh, my God, we're old. Dear Lord.
Weren't we talking about gifts? No.
No, it was how to handle
tough questions. How to explain... Oh, like right after I got divorced, I went to a Bears game, and when we tailgate, there's this thing, there's like this wok thing that my ex-husband made that they like barbecue and things on, and people are like, who made this? And I'm like, well, and it would always come out really inappropriately.
The way you would say it or the way they would say it?
No, the way I would say it. Oh, my ex-husband, but he has a girlfriend, so we're going through a divorce.
Just make the person feel as bad as possible for asking the question.
And then did you walk away like immediately? Like, or did you stare at them waiting to get a reaction?
I didn't handle it. I thought it was funny. Like, I thought it sounded funny.
Right.
But you could tell by the cringe in their faces that they did not receive it as I intended.
Right. I don't think any... I mean, it comes up occasionally at family events if I'm dating anybody or anything like that, but it's never intrusive ever. But I've heard that from other people though. They just get bombarded with questions when they talk about somebody they're dating or something like that.
You know, it's just stereotypical, like, oh, when you get married, and then you get married, when you have kids, and like, well, I don't know, like, what?
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Stop it, Dad. So because again we're getting close to that holiday season, best and worst gifts that you guys ever got or are given or received.
I've got a best.
Go.
Worst, I don't know, like, I mean, but this is like significant others or just in general? I assume
significant others.
So Beth gave me a trip to Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, God. Is that the worst? The worst?
We went down to Dayton for a basketball game. It was a blast. I mean, we had an awesome time. Some of my friends from college were there. We went to my old house. The guys that used to live in my old house showed up, that used to show up when we lived there. So it was like three generations of guys and lived in this house. We had a blast. And it was what the coolest part was, it made Beth was like, this place is actually pretty awesome. Like, it made her kind of realize why all my Dayton friends were so happy that we went to Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the best present.
How about one you've given?
That, I mean, I was like, you know, when you're dual income, no kids, you do like a lot of jewelry because you can afford to. When you have the kid, when you start having children, that you pull off the jewelry a little bit. So I think she likes some of that stuff that I would. I mean, we have a jeweler my dad used to go to forever, so I go to him and he has come up with some cool stuff. And then I took her to, I think I talked about this, I took her to Detroit for a Red Wings game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's before she converted to being a Blackhawks fan.
Right.
But that was awesome too. And I don't know if I stole the idea from her or she stole the idea from me for the trip to see a game. I probably stole it from her, is my guess.
Worst gift, I was in college and I was dating this guy from by Dayton, Ohio, and he gave me a brass like candle holder with a candle, and it was like very Ebenezer Scrooge-ish.
That is outstanding.
So I opened it and wasn't sure what to say because, like, my roommate's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got you something for Christmas. And it was so exciting. And I opened it and it was so funny that then I went through like recreating various scenes from
Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Or Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. And the candlestick still comes out every once in a while to do some.
Oh my Lord, you still have it.
That's a strange one for a college kid. How about his mom was like, you have to give this to her.
I am. He then later explained, he's like, I don't know if you're going to like it, but we were at the Hallmark store, which is really the only gift shop in our town, and my mom thought you'd really like a candle for your room. And I was like, no, it's great. It's what I wanted.
Yeah. What are you going to say?
And there's never fires in old college houses.
No. I actually knew a guy who got kicked out of the dorm at Iowa because he got home from the bars and lit up a barbecue grill in his dorm room.
I like that they kicked him out.
He did get kicked out of school, but
no, the dorm. Like, sorry, grill in the dorm, you're out. Go rent someplace. So, what about you? What did you? Some of your highlights or lowlights?
Highlights, I would say. I tried to always be a little creative, even if I, didn't have a whole lot of cash. In college, one of the gifts I gave was. I gave candles, but they were all the scented candles, without the brass.
With the to put your finger in.
I didn't give that. Gave that, and then also gave a massage with it. Not me, but like a professional massage with like some oils and stuff like that. I can't really think of any bad gift that I've ever received. I've had some that were probably questionable, but nothing out of the ordinary, nothing like a candlestick or anything like that. But probably for my best gift was, this was 10 years ago or so. I've been dating this woman for a little while. And I was living, I had a roommate at the time. And this is when I was, I won't say where I was living, but... just because
to protect the innocent.
Yeah, exactly. But it was getting close to Christmas, and the three of us, my roommate, myself, and the girl I was dating at the time, we all went out. We may have had a couple of cocktails, and we got back, and we were talking about Christmas gifts, and my roommate had asked what we had gotten each other and if we had exchanged gift gifts, and we said no. And then one of us had gone to the bathroom, and my girlfriend at the time had told him what she had gotten me. And then at some other point in the night, he asked me what I had gotten her, and I told him, and he started busting out laughing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, geez, what's going on? And so on and so forth. And then we all went to bed, and we never talked about it again until Christmas. And then we both opened up the gifts, and we had gotten each other the exact same thing. We had gotten each other a Pentax camera, K1000s, exactly the same models. And that, of course, is why he was laughing so hard. But that was one of the best gifts I did get. That was awesome.
But to me, that's like perfect for a relationship. Because
Tom's like, it is exactly reciprocal. There's no...
Yes, exactly. So when you're in an early stage of a relationship, you want to make sure you're on the same wavelength and things are equal, right?
Right. Well, that gets us to our second question, which is, what's an appropriate gift when you are in the beginning stages of a relationship, maybe in the middle or towards the end?
So, I mean, in my opinion, it's not necessarily what's the appropriate gift, because it's going to depend on, you know, what's the person, what do they need, what do they like. So it's gonna vary.
Sure.
And obviously, when you're starting out, you don't want to go too like intimate with the present or too big.
You're not going to buy him lingerie.
No, probably not. But I think it's all. And I've had this conversation after like holidays with, you know, girlfriends, or and it's like, oh, what did you get her? What did she get you? And then it's like, oh, okay, that was pretty equal. Like you both spent $200. You both spent, you know, $300. So you're both in the same neighborhood monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is almost, you know, more important than. Yeah, you know, and actually, you want to have thoughtful gifts that they actually like.
Sure.
But to me, it's more about like, are you both in the same realm in terms of the spend? Because then it probably tells you you're on the same path with the relationship.
It's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah, I could see that. As far as I would say, monetarily, the value I think of something kind of depends. I think if you put a lot more thought into something, it doesn't really matter how much it is, especially if they would appreciate it.
I don't have like a ton of like just random cash laying around, but sometimes I date people that do. So I think that sometimes I feel the pressure to like step up my game and spend more money than really I should, when it probably would have been just fine to do something thoughtful. But I think I usually try to do something that's like an event or something that we do together, like a game or a play or something like that.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be like... I mean, like, thoughtful gifts that don't cost anything are fantastic, and they mean a lot. Mean the whole world to me. But if you got, like, if you spent...
I just kept waiting for the butt to come.
It came. Here it comes. But if you spend, like, a ton of money, and you get, like, oh, here's a picture of us in a $5 frame from Hallmark. Great. Thanks a lot. I mean, what? Like, where's the rest of my stuff? Come on.
My God. You know?
Hey, I'm just being honest. No, I mean, I think, like, it's right now, like, with Beth, I try to get her things that are more, you know, that kind of give her a break, if you will. Like, hey, night at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her a night at a hotel, like, a year and a half or 2 years ago, and she still hasn't used it. Which I'm starting to think maybe, like, does it expire at any point? Or, and then for something over the summer's birthday or anniversary, you know, I give her, like, a little, you know, spa thing, you know, massage and nails or whatever.
Right.
So now I try to, like, give her things that kind of give her a little break, I guess. You know, give her a little rest and a little time alone, if you will.
Right.
Because I'm sure Caitlin and I can be a bit of a chore at times.
When I was dating my ex-husband, he was like saying, oh, I go snowboarding all the time in Wyoming and do this and do that. And I was like, wow, he's a snowboarder. So there's this place called Big Bear that wasn't that far from where we lived. And so I bought him a season pass there for Christmas, which I know.
That's a big gift.
I still remember, like, I kind of went overboard, but he went overboard too. And we've been dating
like
5 months maybe. And I remember I had to put it on a credit card because I couldn't, like, shell out the money all at once. And then it turned out maybe he wasn't the biggest snowboarder. That, like, he was, like he had a snowboard.
That's part of
the
show.
And he kept it.
Lying is not part of the show.
He kept it in his closet, so I simply assumed. And I never questioned the fact that he hadn't gone snowboarding since I met him. But I figured, oh, it's probably just because he doesn't have the pass.
Sure.
So I bought him it, and then he never used it.
Oh, my God. I think you could... Oh, man. Yeah, well,
he should have said, like, why don't we try to sell this to somebody else? But in those days, there wasn't, like, online marketplaces as much as there is now.
That could be.
But back in the olden days.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, so in the beginning, though, I think you got it. Like, what would be... If you just started dating somebody, what would you look for now? Like, if you just started dating Beth, and Christmas was right around the corner, what would you buy her?
Like right now? Our first Christmas, I got her, actually, this might have been our second Christmas. Our first Christmas came up pretty quick. I mean, we met, like, mid-fall, right?
Right.
So first Christmas.
That's tough when you first meet somebody. And then you got, not only that, but you got Christmas, you got, and then you got Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, this sounds bad. I don't know if it was first or second Christmas. I want to say this was probably second. But, like, she liked camping, so I got her a tent. She loved it. We still have it.
That's romantic.
And ironically,
that was the second
her Christmas? Father got That's her, like, good. a camping table. Like, we didn't chat about it.
Yeah.
You know? But man, is that bad? I don't remember if that was first or second. I would guess that was second.
Yeah.
But again, you just try to like, I mean, I think, I don't know if all guys do this, but I literally just try to listen all year long and then be like, oh, all right, that's a present idea. That's a present idea.
What, another thing that I would do too is like if we were out shopping and she would pick something up and start talking about how much she liked it or whatever, and then she'd be like, I don't know, it might be too much money, and put it down. I'd be like, that's going right here. Boom.
First Christmas, sold. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me. First Christmas, I got a picture of the, it was the Tribune of the Wrigley Building from like 1920, black and white framed picture. And then there was like, it was from Walter E. Smith. She like didn't buy it, so I went back and bought it for her. And then there was like a random red vase that was like on sale. I'm like, oh,
I'll take
she
that
likes
too.
Red. I'll take that red vase. Both of those are still in our house today.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think well, sometimes I like to drop the hint like, oh, my kids were so hilarious because the perfume I wear, they thought was called Change the Channel, but it was Chance by Chanel. You know, just if you were wondering.
Right. That's pretty good. But say you started dating somebody. We're recording this in all transparency beginning of November. So if you just started, well, let's take it back a month. Say it was you met somebody first couple of weeks of October, and Christmas was coming up. What would you do?
Am I like how often do you I like see
her.
Them?
You like him, her. You like him.
I've become.
Whoa, big news. Big news tonight, folks.
You like him. You think there's potential. For at least 6 or 7 months.
I think it would depend on like what they like and what we do together and things like that.
Right.
I don't think I'd spend more than, you know, a couple $100 for sure.
That's a lot.
I think early on, that's even, I would say that's aggressive early on.
Okay. If this happens, I'll come and ask you guys. That's what's going to happen.
We're going to go shopping together.
Oh, that'd be fun. I won't hover at all.
I can't really think of anything else to go with. I mean, obviously, if you're going to be together, then you got to go big at some point, right?
Well, yeah, I think like there definitely comes to a point where you want to like, you know, impress. You want to give them, you know, your significant other something impressive and something they can be proud of.
Well, what about something tangible instead of something like an experience? But like, say, you know what I mean? Like Tom talked about the hotel. Rather than something like a piece of jewelry.
Well, like, with my parents, you have to be a joke. Like, my aunts would be like, so what kind of jewelry did you get this year?
Right.
And what kind of, you know, like I think there was, like, a six-year period where it was, like, a bracelet every year. no more bracelets.
You wear them all together?
Like, you know, it's gift-giving so, like, personal and hard. It's hard to, like, make it, like, a general... You know, rule of thumb, because what's good for the goose is not always good for the gander, right? I mean, I don't know.
I think something tangible every once in a while is fine, but I think experiences are the way to go.
Oh, you're saying like versus one or the other?
Not necessarily versus, but
I think just change it up. Yeah. You know, like with Beth, sometimes I give her an experience. Sometimes I'll give an experience, and we end up like actually changing the experience. Like, well, instead of doing that, let's do this.
So basically, she said, your gift is not what I wanted. Let's do this.
Right, no, it's, you know, one time we were supposed to go to Kohler and went to Europe instead. So that's cool.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good trade.
Yeah.
This summer I gave her Oktoberfest in Wisconsin. And I said, here's a couple. We can go to this Oktoberfest or the Oktoberfest. Which one do you want to go to? And we may have picked the wrong one, but we still had a blast. Yeah. Went to Milwaukee. We should go to New Glarus.
I mean,
yeah.
That's not hard to do.
True.
All right, unless Allison's got anything to add.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be... I mean, what if I meet someone tomorrow? I don't think I'll need to buy them a gift for Christmas, right?
Just a card?
Yes.
Maybe a little something.
Yeah.
Like $20, like six... Like a
$20 bill and a card like my grandma gave me?
If they're like into beer, you give them like a 12-pack of like a good beer, like, you know, just a little something. Just
an old
little,
O.J. Simpson football card or something.
That actually might be worth money. Do you have some of those laying around?
I gave one to my dad 1 year for Christmas. I thought it was hilarious.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week's
episode. I'm sorry. By the way, I splattered it a little bit with like red pen ink. Anyway.
So if it was worth anything, it's not anymore.
Worth nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Can I finish the show?
Yes.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Single, Married, Divorced. Next week, we will talking about breaking up and that it's hard to do. Should you text your ex over the holidays? And who says I love you first? More? Men or women? That's all coming up next week on Single, Married, Divorced. For Tom and Allison, I'm Eric Rung. Have a great week, everyone.